Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember, you can join 106.7 The Fan as we broadcast live from TAP Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor today, starting at 10 a.m. That's just under 3 hours from now. Until 6:30 p.m., see every game of the College Hoops Tournament from every seat at TAP Sports Bar. Get your details at thefandc.com/events. TAP's an amazing spot. It's got 90 TVs. You can catch all of the action start to finish there, and you can listen to The Fan broadcast live.
Got a lot going on the show. T.J. Miller is going to join us in 20 minutes. Comedian, actor. Yes, he's in Deadpool. Also Yogi Bear Cakes.
Yes, he is. He's in both.
I didn't realize he went to GW.
I didn't know that.
I did know that. And I wonder, though, because I think it was around 2000-ish. Does that dovetail with when Danny was there?
Or I don't know. Danny might be a little bit older.
I think Danny might have graduated maybe a year or two before.
I think TJ's 36. How old's Funny Danny? Does anybody know?
He's 38 or 39.
Yeah, I think he's inching towards 40.
Okay. So they might have been there like maybe freshman year, senior year type thing.
Got it.
Believe me, you took one of my questions. I mean, that was going to be one of my bonding points.
Fine. You can still bring it up.
You can rehash it.
The GW bit.
Yeah, of course you
can. That was the thing I could really connect with.
You know? Well, he'll join us coming up in about
20 minutes. Oh, I know. You haven't seen him
minutes.
In Deadpool.
I know.
I know that.
I
love Deadpool.
The guy's a major superstar. Yeah. Some of those things are my blind spot.
But what I wanted to say is not only do we have T.J. Miller, we've got John Feinstein. Also, we have tickets to go see Jay-Z and Beyonce at FedEx Field. We will give those away coming up at 8:45. So for all of you, Prize Pigs, 8:45.
Yes. Yeah, come to the trough at 8:45, Prize Pigs.
Exactly. So yesterday you had the press conference for Alex Smith, introduced to the media. And I think all of us just, we like Alex Smith's character at least. I know Cakes is probably rooting against him because he's firmly in the Kirk corner.
No.
Wants Kirk to win a Super Bowl, which means he's rooting against the Redskins.
This is a very delicate high wire.
You want the Redskins to make it to like the best case scenario for you?
Yes,
it seems
personally
would be the Redskins make the playoffs because it always helps us when the Redskins are successful.
That would be awesome. Yep,
but they lose to the Vikings in the NFC Championship game.
That, I would have a nonstop chub in my pants if that were to happen. By the way, I'm already looking forward to the 2019 matchup. I believe the Skins are at the Vikings in the regular season. So I've already got that in the crosshairs. That's not even this upcoming season.
2019?
Yes, I looked ahead. I looked ahead at the Redskins' opponents, figuring that Kirk would sign with the Vikings. He did. And the Redskins, I believe, travel to play the Vikings in 2019.
That's a lot of time for him to come up with a catchphrase if they win.
Who, Kirk?
Yeah.
It certainly is. Because, big surprise, now the Redskins are calling Kirk a big phony on his way out. They just love to scorch him on the way out the door.
Well, they might be right. Apparently, the Jets were pissed off at him, too. Did you see that, by the way?
I'm sorry?
The Jets were apparently pissed off, too. They feel a little used.
I think they were miffed more at the agent than they were at Kirk. Who, by the way, he's also the agent for Josh McCown.
Right.
So that dude is the puppet master.
Look,
McCartney?
They played it perfectly.
Yeah.
And as you know, we could only wish our agent was that good.
Oh.
That would play it that well.
Wish he was that good.
It's hard to get on Kirk for that. But, the Jets definitely feel a little abused.
You mean
fine.
Our agent who walked out of a meeting with ESPN in the middle of it and just left us there?
He might have done that.
It might have happened at one point.
He might have left us alone with Mark Shapiro, maybe the biggest shark in the entertainment industry in history. He might have done that.
Potentially the biggest moment of our career after we had shot a pilot and they were actually fawning over us, liked us. He left to go to his wife's birthday party.
Yeah, it was super important.
And when he left the room, the four or five people in the room said, "Did your agent just leave?"
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Well, what are you going to do?
Sometimes that happens.
We've forgiven him.
It's fine. So anyway, Alex Smith was introduced. Doug Williams, I think he's now kind of the main voice for the front office since everybody kills Bruce Allen. Is that what's happening now that we're hearing from Doug more than anybody? He's becoming the team's mouthpiece?
I think so. I mean, some people are hoping that he has the responsibility to back up that he's not just a team mouthpiece. It's kind of insulting when you call him a team mouthpiece. I know you don't mean that way, but people could interpret that way.
Well, he's in on personnel meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
But he's just the voice.
Well, he's more liked. No one likes Bruce.
Right, so they put him out front and center. Here's what Doug said about the team moving forward and how they ended up getting Alex Smith.
First of all, I want to say this, especially this for the media, and that is we're not looking in the rearview mirror. We're going forward, and that's where we are today. So everything we do today is going forward, nothing behind us, and we're going to treat it that way. I want to say this. The first weekend of playoff, the coaches, the personnel, this whole brain trust of personnel, we all got together, Bruce, Dan, who don't do anything but listen, and kind of let us do what we wanted to do. And
I think he's saying that for the media. Right there, that little statement by saying, Dan.
It sounds like he's talking to our station.
Right, like he's saying, look, Dan and Bruce, they don't do anything but listen.
Oh, please. Does he expect us to believe that? Does Doug Williams think we're stupid? Does he think we're stupid? He might think we're stupid.
I don't know. I think that Dan has backed off over the years, and he's hired people. Bruce, I don't know. I don't know what the hell he does.
I think Bruce is actively involved. He's pulling all the strings.
All I'm saying is,
making the final call.
And it was like he was talking to our station. He said, they just sit there and listen.
Play it again. Play that clip again.
Brain trust of personnel. We all got together. Bruce, Dan, who don't do anything but listen. And
I think he's referring to Dan there.
By the way,
he's never going to say that Bruce just sits there and listens. Everyone knows Bruce is pulling the string.
Less than a week ago, this is the same person that was basically saying, just vilifying Kirk and saying, well, anybody could come in this offense and throw for 4,000 plus yards.
Right.
And just throwing him under the bus. But now it's all about looking forward. Now
at some point, it's got to be.
We're not going to talk about the past anymore.
Well, they shouldn't.
And kind of let us do what we wanted to do. And we knew somewhere along the line we had to find a quarterback. And we went through them all. And we knew that in order to get the guy that we wanted, you had to find a way to trade for him. Didn't know whether or not we was going to get the guy or not. But it was a consensus of everybody in the room. They had a coaches meeting first. They had a personnel meeting first. And that's the good part about it, because we all didn't meet together at the first time. But we all came up with the same consensus. And then we finally got together, and we came up with Alex Smith.
I really want to like Doug Williams. I really do, because we met him, we sat down with him, we did table manners with him.
I do like him.
I think I like him, but, he's in that den of vipers. He's amongst a bunch of weasels, and I feel like it's
true.
It's guilt by association now.
It's true. But I still give him the benefit of the doubt. I still that guy moved me when we met him and he told
us
the stories.
He's an inspirational guy.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
I can't turn on Doug. I won't do it. I refuse.
But he's hanging out with a bunch of backstabbing weasels now.
That's so true.
Oh.
But I just have to hope that stench doesn't cling to him. But you're right. But I can't hold it against him. Get to the Alex Smith stuff, though. I want to hear from Alex, because when he got up there in his fancy suit and he's so dreamy, I'll just tell you, I got a little. I did get a little warmth down there.
That has to be like a $2,500 suit.
He looks so good.
That'd be like a $3,000 suit.
And here's the thing, Alex is a pro. We kind of know what he is, right? He's a good quarterback, not a great one. He's a good one. I didn't get my BS meter was very low. My Eddie Haskell meter was very low. I didn't think like
your phony meter was very low.
Very low. I didn't feel like he was just trying to please everyone. I thought he was just very matter of fact. And just answered questions the best he could. And, I thought he was pretty honest. I don't know. I bought in.
Alex, what's impressive about this organization from the front office and even the pieces that
losers
are currently here?
I mean, I think for me, just in obviously the short time till now, I think that it very clear immediately the desire to win from top to bottom. The competitiveness top to bottom. the stakes, the urgency. I mean, I think those are all important things that need to start at the top. And I think that trickle down into that locker room where, you know, sets the tone. I mean, I think you have to have that sense of urgency every day when you go about your business. You know, the off seasons get shorter, no more two-a-days. I mean, all our time together is shorter and shorter, and I think you have to continue to take steps every day. And I think that sense of urgency, that competitiveness, that desire to win a championship, and it has to start up top, and I think that was very clear from day one.
I mean, there is a sense of urgency. Jay Gruden has to win. There is a sense of urgency, I think, even from Bruce, right? Because the pressure's starting to mount. People are starting to realize what a phony and a fraud he is, and they're starting to see what a terrible record he's had, and the seat's getting hotter, even for Bruce.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that Dan wants to win. You know, I believe that. He just doesn't know how to do it. He's not that bright.
Right. He hasn't figured it out in
and it's
20,
not, it's not
20
easy
years
to
of ownership.
It's not easy to win. You got to have all the right pieces. I mean, you know, if it was easy to win, you know, Bill Parcells would have won when he went to Miami, or Jimmy Johnson would have won when they went, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those guys are football savants, but it's not easy. You know, Bill Belichick would have won in Cleveland. So it's not easy to win. I believe they do want to win. They're just a bunch of donks. Continue, please.
Yeah.
Doug mentioned that you had kind of chose the Redskins, even though you were traded. How much input did you have in that process on choosing your next team and just, yeah?
There was some, obviously, yeah. I mean, with the extension involved, there was a little bit. Certainly was something I think that everybody involved had to be on board with it. I was obviously fortunate enough and happy enough that everybody was, because this is where I wanted to be, you know, and that it did work out. So, you know, I don't know if that answers your question. Obviously, there was a little bit that went into that, yeah.
You got more? Is that all you got?
Alex, John Kime, ESPN. What is it that attracted you to this place when you look from the outside? Why did you want to be here?
I think as a quarterback, you certainly watch a lot of film, right? We spend a lot of time in the film room. You get to see a lot of other defenses, but you get to see a lot of other offenses. And certainly from afar, watching everything that's kind of taken place here over the years, the system, the guys that are here, looked fun. Looked like it'd be a, you know, I wanted to be a part of it. So to sum up your question, I mean, that's a lot of it. I mean, you watch a lot of film. You can see what's going on other places. Get a little glimpse of that, and certainly that's what started that.
Look, it's a Jay Gruden offense, right, where the quarterback, some people have said, you know, a fourth-round quarterback came in here and threw for 4,000 yards three straight years. Where a quarterback came in here and earned an $84 million fully guaranteed contract.
You got
any quarterback
up.
Would want to come in here and play for Jay Gruden, I believe, especially when your other options are like Cleveland, the Jets. Of course you want to come here.
You got fired up from this thing, and I think I've been pretty consistent with this over the years. The pressers mean absolutely nothing.
Well, that's
it's
true.
Nice.
But the difference is you're not emotionally invested in the team. So I'm emotionally invested in the team. So I do get fired up at the press conferences
now,
often.
I think he's going to be successful. I think that Jay Gruden does scheme as well as anybody. Guys get open in his system. He's not going to have the weapons that he had in Kansas City. I think one of the things that Doug Williams did address yesterday, too, is he's like, we're going to address the running back situation. So he knows they need to step up there.
Yeah, he knows they need an upgrade. But that's obvious.
The other thing, though, that I
by the way, they might be able to get Ryan Grant back, because once Michael Crabtree became right. available, the Ravens found
the
a
okey-doke.
Bad ankle.
He officially got hosed by the Ravens.
But they're going to try and help him and boost the weapons, and we'll see what Alex Smith has.
Smart move.
Come the regular season.
Yeah, that was buyer's remorse, because the whole country joned on him for giving Ryan Grant $14.5 million. That's exactly what happened. And then Crabtree, they saw that was developing. So
the Ravens
were
like, there's a guy named Crabtree available? We have to sign him.
It's a perfect fit.
We have to get him in the fold.
Right. You don't have
Phillips will be fired up.
You don't have the clip. It doesn't seem like you have it queued up, where he talked about how like those off-season workouts look good on Instagram and social media, but they don't, you know. Yeah. That, to me, was a highlight. That was the real highlight. You know?
And he's right.
He's 100%.
It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt, but it doesn't do that much.
No, come on.
You know. little bonding is cool.
Plus, but he's been in the league for, what, 14 years?
Been a long time.
What's a couple days throwing?
He's a grizzled vet.
What's Josh Doctson going to do?
Yeah. He's going to come in here and do his job. I think he's going to be very, very solid. I don't think he's going to light the world on fire, but I think he's going to do a very, very good job. And as, even though I've heard some people say, you know, hell, I heard Grant say he's not going to win a game for you. He will win a game for the Redskins.
Of course he will.
You know, of course he's going to win games for the Redskins. And not in the sense, like, I know what Grant means. Like, he's not going to put the team on his back. No, he is going to have some games where he throws for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards, and you're going to say Alex Smith won that game.
Is he going to be 50-26 or whatever his record was with the Chiefs?
No.
Probably not here in Washington.
It's going to be closer to 500.
But,
and that would be a good thing.
I think if he plays like he did last year, and that's tough. That's the best year of his career. But if he plays like he did last year, he's going to win more games than Kirk. I really believe that.
I don't know. I think eventually he's going to have some successful time here. I think next year, I remember looking at the schedule. The schedule looks really tough.
We say that every year.
Right. I know.
I'll predict lower than I did last year. Last year, I predicted, what did I have him at? 8-8 last year? Lower than I already did. I think I'm going to predict like 5 wins. Plus, by the way, they did a great thing yesterday. Best thing they probably did yesterday beyond this dumb presser was they re-signed Zach Brown, which had to happen. They're still net worse off than they were at the start of free agency.
By the way, if Kirk goes and wins 12 or 13 games, I don't want to hear the argument, oh, well, he's got a great cast surrounding him. It's not Kirk doing it. Because everybody here loves to assail Kirk for the record of the team. Mm-hmm. So if he leads Minnesota to 13 wins, I want to hear a lot of lauding of Kirk Cousins for helping it happen.
Well, I think Kirk's got to go do better than Case. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I think it's a little unfair to expect him now. It's Super Bowl or bust for him.
No,
I think that's a little unfair. And believe me, I'm no huge fan today. But
get him into the playoffs.
There's a lot of pressure on him.
I think that they will.
Yeah.
I think that they will. I think they'll do very well. And I think Alex will perform well for us. It's just that, you know, don't get it twisted. We were better before free agency started. Now, they knew they were going to lose 5 or 6 of those guys anyway, but, you know, we got a lot of catching up to do. We got a lot of holes yet to still fill. But right. But signing Zach Brown was big.
Remember, John Feinstein, best-selling author, is going to join us at 8. We'll get back into the tournament at 9 o'clock with Chris Nockey, who, of course, calls Maryland Terrapins games. But next, TJ Miller joins us in studio here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can join the station out at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor. After us, 10 a.m. till 6:30 p.m., you can watch every game of the College Hoops Tournament from every seat at Tap Sports Bar. And get more details at thefandc.com/events if you need them.
Look, I think I'm going to swing
by. It's MGM
by.
National Harbor, and you get off the elevators,
yep.
And it's right there.
It is right there.
If you're in the parking garage, mm-hmm. You get in the elevator. Get off the elevator and either look to your left or look to your right, and there's Tap Sports Bar.
Correct. It couldn't be easier to find.
Shocker, the elevators are also right by the casino entrance.
Of course. They want to make it convenient for everybody, JP, there at MGM National Harbor. Why wouldn't they?
But it's right there, so go out to Tap Sports Bar. The boys will be broadcasting. Joining us in studio right now is TJ Miller.
What's up, TJ? Good morning.
The thing that all comedians do where I say... I don't know that much about sports because I mostly...
That's okay.
No, but
neither do we don't know.
One of your producers goes, they don't like to talk about sports.
So you're amongst friends.
How are you guys doing this morning? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm stunned you were doing an early appearance. Whenever we have comedians, they're generally on the last two segments of the show, like in the 9 o'clock hour. Are you hustling?
That means they're dragging your ass everywhere.
Why are you such a go-getter so early, TJ? Look at you.
I'm not usually. I guess it's because I passed out on the train up here and just had plenty of sleep yesterday. I don't know. I mean, what time do you guys wake up?
4:20, 4:30.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, that's the worst.
It's crazy, right?
But we're done at 10, so then you know, you go home. And,
yeah, exactly. And it's a really fun format. It's amazing. But, the early mornings for comedians are absolutely the worst. I usually say I can't have a meeting or anything before 11 a.m.
Smart. I mean, if you can dictate that, which you can at this point in your career, you should absolutely do it.
I've gotten to a point where, see, because I still perform stand-up all the time.
Right.
And so we live in Manhattan, and it's like, I'll get done at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm not, I get home and I want to hang out with Kate. Like, that's the time I hang out with my wife.
Right.
And so sometimes we go to bed at like 3 or 4 when you're getting up.
Right. Yeah.
We're like just winding down to get ready to go to sleep.
Because I've seen like your stand up too, and like you're drinking, like you're getting after it. Do you do that every time that you're, you know what I mean? Is that part of the lifestyle?
You know what? Sometimes it's also, I'm up there and I'm making jokes about how I drink Red Bull vodka because I like to be awake when I pass out.
Right.
And, it's just Red Bull on ice or something like that.
Yeah,
but it is weird. There is something that compels me to have a drink on stage just because most people can't do that at work. And I don't mean to encourage that for your listeners at work right now. But, you know, it is interesting to me that you can drink at work if you're a stand-up comedian.
We have an annual drinking show.
We do it once every year. We bring in cops.
We do breathalyzers. We try to act like it's a public service announcement. We're all 47.
But you still blew like a .14 this year.
Yeah, because I'm
strong.
Because I'm an entertainer. And I'm not trying to bring it. Once a year, though. I'm not trying to do it more than
Well, you know, I think, and the other thing is from Silicon Valley, I think a lot of people think that I'm very high all the time.
Right.
And I am not. I was earlier this morning, but I'm no longer high. And
it's worn off.
No, but I think that they think that's just part of the, you know, at the end of the show, they'll sometimes come up and say, so how high were you? And it's like, you can't be high and you can't be drunk because you need to be very quick. And I don't know what it
is. That's true. So you really don't drink when you're performing.
I mean, I certainly would never perform drunk because.
A little buzz.
Not even really, because I get heckled a lot. I don't know why that is. I guess I just look like a guy that you want to yell mean things
I don't understand that concept. Like, if I go to a comedy show,
because you're drunk. I've done it. You don't mean to, but you're just drunk.
I want to hear the jokes, but if I'm heckling, you're not even heckling.
You're just being a pain in the ass because you're being a jerk.
I think often you're drunk. And then you want to be a part of the show. So it's for attention. It's this weird thing. I now play the slide trombone in my act.
Nice.
And I do not know how to play the slide trombone.
That's a wacky move.
But so I do this thing where, you know, comedians have a room child that's like, boom, boom, shh.
Yeah.
I give a slide trombone to an audience member who's never played it. There it is. That's exactly it.
Sure.
Wow. See, he brings it.
Two of them.
He's so drunk he can't stand his chair, but he is right there on the rim shot.
Right.
And so I said, you know, who in here hasn't played the slide trombone? And this girl was so drunk, and she was one of those girls that, and you know, my wife's girls hate these types of girls, but she just was cute enough that she felt very entitled.
Like, I can do this?
Yeah, and so she walked up and tried to get on stage. And so sometimes the heckling is they think they're, like, helping.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you got to go back to your seat. You're too drunk to even see.
By the way, something you said just triggered a memory of mine, and this was one of your pet peeves of all time. Because you said the girl was cute.
Yeah.
Girls with an absolutely pretty face.
You're gonna upset people now. You can't say these things anymore.
No. I think
like the super pretty face, but then the body doesn't really follow the face.
I don't think... My friend Nick had a joke. I had a joke that didn't make any sense and didn't work, so I stopped doing it. You won't see it tonight. But I was like, she's not a butter face. She's a margarine face. She just has wiped margarine all over her face. But I think it's that idea of it doesn't matter what you look like. It's like certain girls get very entitled you know, because they're just cute enough. And
just cute enough.
Yeah, exactly.
What number is a just cute enough?
Oh, I don't. I won't rate women. I don't believe in that
no.
at all. No. Oh, no, no. I will talk about their look because I'll talk about their looks all day. No, no. I think it's because you know, some girls I've met, like, you know, wouldn't be on the cover of an auto magazine necessarily, but I'd rate them at a 7 or an 8 well, or a 9 if they're hilarious
sure.
and they're so fun.
Yeah,
yeah, they're buying shots for everybody in the bar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going up.
Speaking of rating women, my first exposure that I can remember to T.J. Miller was in She's Out of My League.
Yeah.
I think it was 2009.
A Steven Spielberg produced film, if you can even believe it. That's true. Isn't that crazy? It's done by DreamWorks.
And you have one of the great nicknames ever as your character name, Stainer.
Stainer, you know,
I love that name.
That was a period of my life where, you know, for 3 to 6 months, maybe even longer, people would yell out the nickname of the character,
right.
which was Stainer. They'd
right.
be like, Stainer! And they would just yell it in the middle of the street, and then all these people would turn and kind of be like, did that person just yell Stainer at the other? If you haven't seen the movie, that makes no sense
at all.
I don't
remember it. It's a funny movie.
No, that's not a bad thing. You know what it is?
It's a
great slapper. It's a great hangover movie, and so is Office Christmas Party.
Yeah.
You just, any point that you tune in, you know you're going to laugh for the rest of it because it's just... it's a gag-driven film.
The scene where I can't remember the slightly overweight dude in the movie.
Nate Torrance, hilarious.
Where he
lives in Colorado.
He is helping groom Jay Baruchel.
Oh, it's so funny. And here's the thing.
So
that would have been a really like crass, bad joke from American Pie 12 or something.
Right.
But he did it like a barber.
Right.
And was so everybody in that film was so funny that they kind of made... you know, what would have been maybe a mediocre comedy. Really, it's really funny. I'll catch it on, you know, on television, and I'll watch the whole thing. It's pretty funny. I'm not a guy that looks at my stuff and is like, oh, I can't believe I look so weird and
right.
I didn't do that right or any of that kind of stuff. I just kind of watch it. And
you can separate it.
Anything, I kind of laugh and I'm like, I can't believe they let that guy on
television. Something else you were in.
Especially in Silicon Valley. I was like, look at that.
Because I haven't seen it in a while. You were in Cloverfield as well.
Yeah. And then there was this very strange resurgence because of Cloverfield Paradox, which, have you guys seen that or not?
No, it's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
But there was this sudden resurgence of, there was the 10-year anniversary of Cloverfield, which I think for a lot of people was a big deal. That movie, like, mm-hmm. that's their favorite movie. And then they did Cloverfield Lane, and that was very good.
That was done, too.
And actually...
that John Goodman?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
And then the young kid in that, the boy, he's in Underwater, the movie that I'm in with Kristen Stewart, and he's really, really good. But so those two movies exist in a parallel universe, okay? And and the Cloverfield Paradox, I guess... you know, isn't a good movie, is what I'm hearing from a lot of people.
Uh-oh.
And it sort of somehow ruins the Clover verse or something like that.
No.
And they released it without any advertisement or anything. They were just like, here it is.
Right.
Like a Beyonce album.
Do they advertise that during the Super Bowl or something?
Unless it's Beyonce, it is not good. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think with music, it's okay, but with a movie, it's a bad sign.
Yeah, I think that's, if you're not kind of gearing people up to watch this thing.
Right,
exactly. But you know what they've said lately?
But then if it just shows up like in your queue on Netflix, then
you're
kind of
going, oh boy. And Netflix is making so much stuff right now that some of it you're just like, I'm not going to even waste my time with this.
I watched the Will Smith movie. It was all right.
What was it?
Bright, I think.
Yeah, Bright.
Bright.
Yeah.
And is it him and an alien?
Yeah, it's a sci-fi movie. It's not memorable.
Did you even
I'm not
pause
good
there?
Movies.
That pause means that's not like 10 stars on your Netflix.
No.
Yet. Is it him and an alien? Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, it
I mean,
is.
What do you want me to tell you? I didn't have anything else going on.
Pretty much.
Can you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We should plug. He's going to be at Arlington Draft House. I think it's
Arlington
sold
Draft
out
House,
tonight.
Yeah, it's sold out. First show tonight, and then...
you need times?
Maybe
help them.
7:30, and then I think 10, maybe? God, I'm the worst
Friday.
Comedian in the world.
But yeah. I think tickets available
Saturday. Tickets available Saturday.
ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. That's what people need to know. TJ Miller hanging out with us. Keep it here.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to be joined in studio by TJ Miller.
Hello, he is at everyone. The Arlington. That's right.
Cinnamon Draft House this weekend. The Friday shows are sold out. Still some tickets available.
Yeah, there will be drafts, but no cinema.
Very little cinema.
Last week, I'm on tour, and last week I did the Off the Hook Comedy Club. Off the Hook.
Nice.
Comedy Club in Naples, Florida.
Okay, right. Beautiful spot, though.
And, but I did maybe. Have to say on all the media that some of my comedy is on the hook. So yes. I want to tell people that right now. Not all of it is going to be off the hook. I do promise slide trombone.
Why do you still do the stand-up so vociferous? Like, why do you insist on doing it? Because you're so active acting-wise.
Well, you know, the thing is that, so I live in New York now with my wife, and it just became this thing where I've just felt like I had a shot. I think I have a shot at becoming a really great stand-up comedian, but you've got to put in
you got to grind at it.
And my wife is like so busy in New York that we miss each other, but like she's already up and working probably also. And so it's for a while through the end of August, you know, I'm gone on the weekends and then I come back. And I don't know. I like that the audience, sometimes they don't, but I like that the audience gives you that immediate response. I was talking about in the car with Pete that, you know, one of the things is that people stream so much and we're in front of our screens and all the news that we're inhaling is all terrible. And I love that people, you know, decide to make a night of it, to pay for the tickets,
put the phones away,
to go out to dinner, put the phones away and watch an actual show. And, you know, watch somebody that came to them. Like, you know,
right.
Not necessarily watching me in a movie or on television.
He blew me away during the break. So I asked him. So TJ went to G-Dub. And we asked him, like, how his odyssey, how he got there. And he talked about, well, it was like one of the few schools accepted me. But that's, like, by the way, a great school.
Well, yeah. And it's a great school, but they did give me a scholarship. And that's the reason I went.
Excellent.
And I met my wife, and she also got a scholarship. So thank you. Yeah, free money. We couldn't turn it down.
Who would? Yeah. So, and then I'm like, and then he did, like, Comedy Troupe stuff. And of course, he did Second City. I believe I read that, too, in Chicago.
Also studied Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Right.
He's so much more well-rounded than
that's
us.
Really worked
but
out.
But here's
for
the thing that blew me away.
All my films with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
I'm like, well, how did you choose? Like, when you went to GW, did you know you were going to do comedy? And he's like, well, I was, were you a psychology major at one point?
Yeah, I am. I graduated as a psychology major.
And he's like, I can impact maybe 100
people. By
the
way, you have that in common with him. Now, he picked that because it was the easiest major. He thought that
was a pretty easy major.
Like, in terms of the number of credits.
It's a pretty easy major. It's a pretty easy major.
Mass communications.
Yeah.
That's what I chose.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Or American studies, which just means something. You know, no one exactly knows.
No, but when he decided he was going to get into comedy, he said, I could be a psychologist, and maybe, you know, if I'm lucky, I impact 100 people in my career.
100 or, to 500.
Yeah. But, or in comedy, you know, I can affect, you know, maybe 500,000, whatever people.
Millions of people for every between 2 minutes and an hour and a half. I mean, you know, we do these movies. You know, I got so much hatred about the Emoji Movie. So much online hatred, okay?
Why? It made a lot of money, though, didn't it?
Oh, of course, yes. Well. Of course. And children love it.
Right.
I had a family of four. The guy comes up to me at a Manhattan restaurant, and he goes, yeah, I just want to tell you, I wouldn't do this usually, but I saw Office Christmas Party last night, and I just loved it, and my wife and I love it, and we're here with our two daughters, and their favorite movie is the Emoji Movie. Would you go over and say hello? And I just couldn't believe that. I had taken care of that entire family.
Well, even more.
I had made that entire family laugh, one with like the most ridiculous, the Emoji Movie. It has the word movie in it. And one with Office Christmas Party, which is nearly the most R-rated thing I've ever done. Well,
even more far-fetched than what you did for them is Office Christmas Party helped get one of the guys behind the glass there, helped him close the deal with the lady.
Hey, so there it is.
Office Christmas Party was a conduit for him.
See, I figured.
See what you're doing? You're impacting another life here.
I
figured millions of people. Look at this, right? He's plugging
so
in.
So excited.
He's
so
excited. So first of all, I have to hear this story.
And where is the Office Christmas Party in your stupid pool?
Well, it's actually
what type of seed?
A 15 seed.
It's
now,
a 15 seed. That's disrespectful.
And his pool.
It could offset.
Don't tell me the pool because it'll just make me sad.
I feel like 80%.
Oh well, okay. And Deadpool 2 should be also. I hope. Yeah.
So
where's Ready Player One?
I had a first date and this girl said she wanted to go to the movies. I took her out for a few drinks, and then we went to see Office Christmas Party. She got Sice for You in the Santa suit.
Right.
She was laughing the whole time, giggling, touching my arm.
Well, it's an aphrodisiac.
And I hit the skins. Office Christmas Party,
but what was that?
It's an aphrodisiac.
And that never happens for
me. It's an outlier.
I mean, how many times has that happened for you?
Right. I mean, she never hit me up again.
I got to say this, though. If you're going to take a girl to a movie, take her to Office Christmas Party. Don't take her. I don't think that would have happened if you guys had seen Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I feel like the end of that would have just been like a hearty hand clasp, and you both would have gone to your respective places to cry.
Right.
Instead, if you get them laughing, yeah, that's very exciting.
She was laughing so much that at the end of the movie, I mean, it was a done deal.
She forgot who you were.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
See, if she
forgot she was with him.
I don't think, if I had been a psychologist, right, a psych major, I don't think I ever would have like a session with someone and they're like, and I got laid because of that. Right. It was such a good session that I just went home and hit the skins, as you said, which I guess you can say on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, it looks like you're up against
that makes me feel so good.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of you and Jason Bateman just got her.
That just got to her. And Jennifer Aniston's very stern haircut.
Yeah. Mm. So, TJ, I've got a March Madness bracket here. I mean, it's a big project coming up.
Are you going to harass him right now?
It sounds like it.
Going to fill it out, and I just want you to take a look at it. Here. Maybe you're interested in filling it out.
I can feel by the tone of your voice that everyone is irritated by this.
Yeah.
And that's not a dig on you, but even the listeners now are like, oh, it's bracket time. Okay, great. That's
you're
just
very
what we
perceptive,
need.
It is March Madness.
Segway. By the way, it's kind of disrespectful that Office Christmas Party is a cross out.
Best movies.
It's a write-in.
It's a write-in.
And you know what got crossed out is Oliver Linings, which I think is a porn. That must be pornographic. Oliver Linings.
Do you have other of TJ's movies in
there? Yeah, so Deadpool plays Inglourious Basterds in the first round. That's a tough matchup, but I've got Deadpool moving on.
Yeah, I think Deadpool moves on from that. Those are two very different films, though. How did you choose this?
So the host and I who do the show, they're random guys.
Yes. I know.
Exactly. I don't really care.
But no, I do.
So Deadpool and Inglourious Basterds, though, are both like action comedy, so it kind of works out.
Sort of, and they are, I'll use your word, outliers in the sense that...
I don't know if I'd ever call Inglourious Basterds
a comedy.
About
the Holocaust.
To Jewish people, it's very funny.
Yeah. I love that the way that you're Inglourious Bast, like to fit it into the brackets.
Yeah.
Like Budapest Hotel has no space in between.
He's also a very poor speller.
Yeah, that's true. Because Zombieland and Gladiator are misspelled here.
Dude, that's so embarrassing.
That is so strange. Do you have the wrestler against Toy Story 3?
Yeah. It's random matchups. I mean, that's the way
you come up with the seeding, though. How did you come up with
it? So, all the movies with an A next to them in mind.
How could it win? I mean, how can you be like, you know what, between the wrestler and Toy Story 3, I prefer the wrestler slowly dying.
The funniest part about all of this is that TJ graduated, as we talked about, with a BA in psychology, with a concentration in situation theory, and this bracket is confusing.
This bracket is so insane.
TJ,
Kurt
it's meant
Locker
to be
versus Django Unchained, and there's room for Unchained, and you didn't write it in.
People know by Django.
History violin. Is that the documentary about the history of violence?
Yeah, exactly. So you're supposed to look at
violin.
It and be like, which of these two movies would I watch if they were on TV at the same time?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, then I guess I could move through these Straight out of Compton over Step Brothers. I don't know. I mean, it's what mood are you in? Do you turn on the you're like, okay, it's The Wrestler or Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And you're like, there is no Wrestler 2 or 3. I guess I'll go with Toy Story. Benji Button, dude. I'm not going to look at this anymore.
No, nor should
that is right. Ridiculous.
All right, get out of here.
Benji Buttons. But see, even you saying that, that completely confirms me becoming a comedian in the sense that the end of your night, at the end of his night was he had a great night at the movies.
Yep, he did.
And then he had a great night between the sheets.
Yeah,
right.
Perfect.
And hit the skins. I had never heard of that.
It's kind of our thing.
Really? Yeah. I never really heard of that term. But I went to a mostly black and Latino high school, and they said hitting skins and getting the skinny. And I was in Music Man because I was a real tough dude. I did musical theater.
Yeah.
And just dancing about in my little tap shoes. And I mean, that's how hard I work. I'll do anything. I'll go to Shakespeare classes. I'll do musicals. That's how I met Kate, is in Chorus Line. And, you know, but we did the Music Man, and the last performance, you always kind of mess with the other actors and change the lines. And, the lead actress, Reagan Linton, who's an incredible actress, who lives in Denver, she said, she has this big speech, and halfway through the speech, she goes, "Before he came to town, sure, of course there was a lot less skinny. Of course people were hitting the skins less." But the thing, and none of the parents caught it at all. And we could barely keep it together on stage. I mean, it was ridiculous.
What were your spots in D.C. when you were here? Where did you go out to?
You know, it's interesting. We sort of drank.
Because I think you were a frat guy.
Well, my fraternity, yeah, I'm not really a frat guy, but I'm wearing fashion frame glasses right now, guys. Okay, I'm not a frat guy. You guys have all seen Animal House, of course.
Of course, yeah.
I joined a fraternity that was much like the John Belushi fraternity. Mm-hmm. They barely, you know, even now I stopped by last night and they were like, "We only have two pledges. We may have to shut down." They've been saying that since I pledged and got it. So, you know, what it ended up being, truly, what it ended up being was 10 of my friends who all lived on the same floor freshman year in Thurston Hall. We were like, let's all join this fraternity and kind of take it over and have it just be a place where we all can hang. And that's what it ended up being. But we were really...
So you still could just show up last night? It's cool? And like, did they freak out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is interesting. They, throughout my life, they've reacted differently. But now it's this really weird thing where they just sort of, you know, they know that I'm in the fraternity. I do stop by when I'm... But, you know, again, they're always like, "We only have two pledges left. We don't know what to do."
Life support.
But we, you know what it is that we were the kind of fraternity. This is why I don't feel like a frat guy. We were the sort of fraternity where none of this is real. None of the sororities wanted to have a mixer with us. So we had, I don't know if you know anything about Greek life. Exactly. The whole point of it is to have these mixers with sororities and meet women.
Yeah.
And it just, no sorority liked us enough, or it was like, you know, it would have been bad for their reputation. Right, exactly. It was just crickets when it came to mixers. But we threw the best parties because we're off campus. And so that's the same thing. So the GW couldn't sort of interfere with us
because
it was private property. And so we threw the best parties for a while. And then now I said to them, "Well, why do you only have two pledges?" And one guy who graduated who was there said, "Well, it's because you only had a party every week instead of more than one party every single week." And I just think that's so funny that's like that. That is what we were.
Whoever.
We were every couple of days. We had a huge party, a highlighter party or some sort of, you know, ridiculous Edward 40 hands party. but I think a while ago, even before it was legal, they became known as kind of the marijuana fraternity.
Mm.
And so I think that slowed down the party planning.
I think
a lot of times they're like, "All right, well, let's smoke a little and then, you know, decide when the party's going to be." Cut to, they've seen DeJang on Chain and Benji Button. And they're like, "What were we talking about? Were we talking about a party or throwing something?"
By the way, the rest of 2018 and into 2019, busy for TJ Miller.
Yeah, Ready Player One comes out at the end of this month. And it's a fantastic movie. And then I really am excited for Underwater. Deadpool 2, of course, very excited about. And I think the script for Deadpool 2 was even funnier than the first one, which is not something that I've said about everything. Transformers 4 was not funnier than Transformers 1. I don't think necessarily.
Probably not.
Necessarily. But Underwater, Kristen Stewart, they kind of offered me, it's sort of a disaster film like Cloverfield, and they offered me the part, and I had only seen Kristen Stewart in Twilight. That's it. So I kind of was like, I think that's weird. And Kate said, no, Kristen Stewart's one of the best actresses working today. But she had never seen Twilight. She'd only seen the other stuff that Kristen Stewart was in. So I decided, I took the movie, and man, is she the real deal.
Really?
I mean, it's Vincent Cassell is also an amazing, he was the director in Black Swan. And so he's the real deal too. But she really, like, the second they say, you know, action, she just like flips a switch and becomes a completely different person. It's totally amazing. And she was really cool to hang out with. So I like that. And then How to Train Your Dragon 3, the end of that franchise, which nice. I'm kind of sad about because I think there's a lot of kids that grew up. Because it was also a Netflix show and it was on Cartoon Network and I was the voice of all of that. And so I think for a lot of kids that was, you know, 4 or 5. Now it's going to be 6 years of their life. And, you know, if that was their favorite movie. But it's so funny because I'm also in the Disney cult and because I did Big Hero 6. And we're best friends with Roy Connolly and Mary Sherwood. Mary's like really good friends with my wife because they're both artists. And Roy is an executive producer at Disney and he executive produced Frozen.
Nice.
And it is amazing to watch a kid watch Frozen.
Right.
And I travel a lot. So I saw a lot of, you know, I see a lot of backpacks with Frozen on them. That's another thing. It's so weird how.
Gotta get a piece of that action to you.
Yeah. Dude, no, but a film, yeah, I wish. If I got even a penny for every single Frozen backpack, I would be the richest man on the face of the planet. No, those, the animated films, you do those for like union wage. You do them for minimum wage.
It's crazy. And they kill it.
And sometimes, and they absolutely kill it. But you become a part of, we all remember like the first, you know, big kids movie that we saw. For me, it was actually Roger Rabbit, and then later it was Dick Tracy. So that's sort of strange that they weren't. But I think for a lot of like girls, Frozen is like the most important thing in their life. Yeah.
All right, TJ, I wish you could hang out with us the whole show. We have
me too.
And you're more than welcome to.
I need to figure out this bracket situation.
We got a guest.
I want to stay here and talk brackets.
All right, give them the mention again for people who want to get tickets.
It's ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. TJ Miller, the tickets are sold out for today. But
come tomorrow, come Saturday.
On Saturday, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com.
And there are no tickets available for Sunday because there's no show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So don't show up on a Sunday unless you want to see what's going on.
It's the great TJ Miller.
Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.